Happy 2019. Anybody excited 2019's here? Yeah, you guys excited? Man, I tell you what, it's great to see you this morning. And we're kicking off this brand new series. And if you're here for the first time, welcome. It's great to have you here. If you're if you've been here before, welcome back. We're talking about follow the leader. And that scene from Big Bang Theory really probably captures many of the ideas, the thoughts that we sometimes have about what it means to follow Jesus, what it means to have a faith, what it means to be a part of church, many of which we're going to kind of unpack over these next few weeks. And so I'm really excited you're here this morning. My name's Kurt, if we haven't had a chance to meet. And to kind of get things started, I want to tell you a bit about my growing up. I grew up in church. In fact, some of you know that I grew up a preacher's kid. And so as a preacher's kid, we had a little bit of a different perspective on the whole church thing than maybe other people have. For instance, I can remember going to conferences, and I saw like the moving of the Spirit of God different than most people. We'd go to like a conference, and you know, when I was like a student, and they'd, you know, be getting y'all excited, and the music would be getting louder and louder right before the like concert or the event started. And then all of a sudden, in one instance, everything just went down. It was like, ew. It was like they blew a fuse and everything went dark. And the emergency lights came on, and then one of the leaders from the event came out and said, oh man, the Spirit's really moving here. You know, this darkness, this Satan does not want this event to happen. And I just remember going, no, I don't think that's it at all. I think some idiot at the soundboard just pushed it up too loud and it blew a fuse. That's, you know, and so sometimes we can make things look like, you know, they're these highly spiritual things and they're not. And especially when it comes to, you know, what it means to actually know Jesus. And for many of us, regardless of whether we grew up in church or we didn't grow up in church, or maybe you used to go with a friend but your family never went, or when grandma was in town, she took you to church. You know, we sometimes get these perceptions of what it means to be a part of the movement of God, or what it means to be in relationship with Jesus, that just aren't real authentic. And so, in fact, for me, I remember in like the sixth grade, we had this thing called Sunday school, and we played this game called Simon Says. And you remember the game, right? Simon Says, like, if Simon says do this, then you do it, and you're like in the game. And or if Simon says, you know, Simon says and says don't do something or stop doing something, if you stop it, then you're still in the game. But the moment that you don't do what Simon says, you're out. And the whole idea, you know, that they were trying to help us understand is that, like, that's what it means to follow Jesus. And it's like, as long as you do what Jesus says, and you go to church, and you pray, and you don't look at that, and you're like, have you seen her, though? I mean, she's amazing. And so it's like all these do's and don'ts, and it's like if you didn't do the thing Jesus said to do, or if you did do the thing that you know, you weren't supposed to do, then you're out. And as a student, I just remember thinking, man, sometimes it's easier being out of the game, right? Like I don't have to worry about what I'm supposed to be doing and not supposed to be doing. And then I'd go to like a youth conference or a convention or retreat, or, you know, Christmas or Easter would roll around. I'm like, oh man, I should get back in the game. And so I'd re-engage. And you know, it was interesting because the game, just trying to do all the do's and not don't do the don'ts, and, you know, I wasn't very good at it. And I don't know about you, but, you know, it's like my belief sometimes isn't all that consistent. And sometimes even my behavior wasn't that consistent. And it was like, well, if you're not good at it, then I guess I'm out. And I remember at times even thinking, well, I guess I'm going to go to hell, but I'm going to be in good company because a lot of my friends are going to be there. And so, you know, if we just approach this whole faith thing as there's certain do's and certain don'ts, I think we'd begin to just get frustrating. And so as we kick off 2019, I want us to kind of hit the reset button, regardless of what your perception of what it means to follow Jesus or to have a faith or to engage with church. I want us to try to clear the memory banks and try to just get a blank slate. Because if we were to just start with the authorized biographies of Jesus' life, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, I think one of the things we would see, if we were just to use those to begin to reform our understanding of what it means to know Jesus, I think we'd begin to see it has nothing to do with rules and regulations, and if I do this, I'm in. If I don't, I'm out. It's just, we'd see it's extraordinarily relational. I mean, it's incredibly relational. And in fact, so much so that Jesus even said once, he said, hey, I've come that you might know exactly what the Father's like. In fact, he even told us that we have a Heavenly Father, that God is actually someone we can refer to as Heavenly Father, and that's incredibly relational. Right? And then, of course, Christmas, and we just celebrated Christmas, and Christmas is really a time where God rushed forward to show us, you know, he brings himself into the world in the form of Jesus so we could know what God's like, and we could know clearly what it means to know him. And so there's a word that Jesus comes back to over and over and over again, and it's what we're going to camp out on over these next few weeks, and it's the word follow. Follow. And it's an amazing word because Jesus extended this invitation to follow to nearly everybody he met. I mean, there was no one that was excluded. It was for the rich, the poor. It was for the good, the bad, the moral, the immoral, the religious, the spiritual, the indifferent, the anti-religious people. Everybody was invited into this circle. And so I want to take us to the first account of this that we see in Matthew, the book of Matthew, the authorized biography of Jesus' life that Matthew wrote. And if you're kind of new to the church thing, I think you're going to really like this story. And if you've been around church for a while, I think you're also going to like this story. This is a story of Matthew, but it's also a story about Matthew. And so he writes this about himself. He kind of gives us this account from his own life. And part of why I think he did this is because this was just like a moment he'll never forget in his entire life, as I think you're going to see. And he introduces us to this whole, the simplicity of this idea of what it means to follow. So here's what it says, Matthew 9. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew. So he's telling us a story about himself. He saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth because he was a tax collector. So real quick, you may know this, but if not, this is really important to the story. So a tax collector, the only category of a person that we can kind of equate to understanding what it meant to be a tax collector in that day and all of the emotion that went with it is like, picture this in your mind. Picture like a 22-year-old guy who didn't finish high school, doesn't really have a job, so he hangs out at the corner gas station trying to sell drugs to young teenagers who come in to buy candy. All right, just picture that, all right? And on top of that, any young ladies who walk in, he offers Netflix and chill just as an option for the night. All right, so like pretty disgusting, right? So that was what it meant to be a tax collector in this first century community. I mean, these men were despised. They were hated. I mean, as we're going to see, you couldn't be friends with anybody other than people like you, like other tax collectors, because people just hated you. And the way Rome auctioned off the ability to collect taxes was, like, if you were the highest bidder in that community, you got the right to collect all the taxes for Rome. And they didn't care how much tax you collected. They just had a certain percentage they wanted, and you could collect it. Whatever you wanted on top of that. So it was a very lucrative business. And so if you won the opportunity to collect taxes, you would go into each local city and hire people to actually go out and be the tax gatherers on your behalf. And there were so many taxes. I mean, there were like poll taxes, and there were bridge taxes and food taxes. And if you lived in a harbor, there was a harbor tax. And like in Indianapolis, we'd have the Crossroads of America tax. And there was like the wine tax and the property tax and income tax. I mean, it just went on and on and on. And so they would hire these locals to collect the taxes in their local community, and they would offer so much money for you to be the tax gatherer that it was a hard offer to decline, except for the fact that you were going to be despised and hated by everyone. You're like a traitor to your own community because you were actually acting on behalf of Rome. And so Matthew is one of these people, and everybody hates him. So picture this. Jesus walks up to him. He's sitting at the dock, has his tax collector booth all set up, and Jesus just walks up, and Jesus could have said any number of things to him, right? I mean, Jesus could have said anything to him, and like he could have been like, hey, Matthew, I bet your mom, she's, you know, real proud of you, son. I mean, he could have said anything to him. But remember, by the way, that Jesus is a rabbi. Now, rabbis, we don't understand rabbis, but rabbis invited people to follow them. A rabbi wasn't just like a priest or a spiritual leader. It was someone who you invited people into your circle. In fact, there was this phrase they used to use. They say, may you be covered in the dust of your rabbi. And what that meant is, as you kind of agreed to come under someone and to learn from them and to be mentored by them, to be coached by them, to do what they do and learn what they know, the idea was, may you be closely following behind your rabbi so closely that as they walked along and the dust kicked up behind them, that you'd be covered because you're right there emulating them. And so rabbis, you know, would look for people they saw potential in. And Jesus could have said anything to Matthew, and there's probably things he should have said and things he could have said and even things that everybody with him expected him to say to Matthew. But instead, take a look at what he says to him. He says, Matthew, follow me. He says, I want you to follow me. Now, yeah, it doesn't say this in the Bible. I mean, we have to read between the lines. But I just imagine there was this corporate groan when he said that. Like everybody with Jesus at that moment was just like, no, he did not. Did he just invite Matthew into this circle? And think about it, there are any number of questions he could have invited Matthew with, to which Matthew could have responded, oh, I don't know that I can do that, Jesus, or Jesus, that is way too hard. Or Jesus, that's gonna cost me way too much. But he just looks at Matthew, just looks him in the eye, says, hey, come, I want you to follow me. And then look at what happens next. It says, follow me, he told him. And Matthew, he got up and followed him. He just walked away. Now, of course, there were all these religious leaders, you know, right there in the shadows. There were always religious leaders in the shadows around Jesus. And they were thinking, wait a minute, it can't be this simple. Jesus can't just like walk up to somebody as disgusting as a tax collector and like invite him to be a part of his circle. And so the invitation to follow Jesus, and this is so important, it wasn't just like Jesus saying, hey, Matthew, let's just take a stroll down the street. Let's go have a cup of coffee together. Let's hang out and have a beer together so people can see that we're like cool together. This was like a formal invitation. This is like a, Matthew, I want you to be a part of my circle. I want you to be a part of my people. I want you to identify yourself with me, and I'm going to identify myself with you. And just to be clear, again, Jesus didn't say, hey, Matthew, as long as you'll quit doing X, Y, Z, then you can be a part of my circle. Or as long as, you know, you start doing X, Y, Z. Or I tell you what, Matthew, if you take these five things I really want to see in your life and you start doing them, I'm going to give you charts and graphs you can keep track over the next 3 weeks. And then I'll come back around and see if you've made any progress. And if you did, then you can join me. He didn't do any of that. He's just like, hey, Matthew, I want you to follow me. Now, here's why this is so significant. Right, and here's why we're going to be talking about this over the next 5 weeks. This invitation is the very same invitation that Jesus gives to everyone he comes into contact with. Just a simple invitation, follow me. In fact, this is a question I want every single one of us to kind of wrestle with as we start 2019. All right, regardless of what your spiritual background is, whether you've been going to church your whole life like me, or you're kind of new to the whole church thing, or maybe you don't ever plan to become a Christian, and we'll talk about that here later. Or maybe you grew up in church, and like when I say John 11:35, you're like, Jesus wept. You're like you know, like that's right, because like, did you not know that Jesus wept? Like the shortest verse in the Bible was in John 11? Okay, well, maybe you're on the other end of that. All right, so wherever you are on the spectrum, like you know, I want us to wrestle with this question. Am I following? Am I following? Not am I a Christian, not, you know, did I pray this morning or did I read, you know, three times this week or how many times did I go to church over the last 4 weeks? I want to simply get to the question, am I following? And I almost want us to put all the metrics aside, all the things we use to say, oh, I read my Bible this morning and I prayed and I kicked the dog on the way out of the house, but that doesn't matter because, man, I did the right things. And I just want us to ask the question, am I following? Am I following? It's a very simple question. Now, if that's too simple for you, it was also too simple for the religious leaders back in Jesus' day. So the story goes on. Here's what happens in the next scene. And Matthew gives us some really interesting detail on this. It says, while Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, to which we're like, okay, hold the phone a second. How did we go from the tax collector's booth to Matthew's house? Like, Jesus, why are you even hanging out at Matthew's house? Like, you know, good people don't hang out at tax collector's house. But Jesus did this all the time, right? Remember Zacchaeus? Zacchaeus, he was a tax collector, and Jesus said, hey, let's go to your house. He's like, let's just go someplace comfortable. Let's go someplace that might ruin my reputation, but it gives you and I a chance to connect in a place that's familiar and relate. So while Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, and then it just gets worse, many tax collectors and sinners came, all right? So this is kind of cool and weird at the same time. So the tax collectors were so bad that even the sinners didn't want to associate with them, all right? So like among the sinners, there's like this pecking order, and they're like, well, I'm bad. I mean, I do some bad stuff. I mean, I'm not a tax collector. I'm not like Netflix and chill with teenage girls bad, right? Like, I'm not that bad. And so there's like this pecking order among the sinners. And so they had their own realm, which meant that they could only hang out with each other, which meant that they were outcast to the whole system of the culture. They were outcast to the social system, the relational system. They were outcast to the religious system. I mean, they were like so bad, they didn't even bother showing up at Christmas and Easter. All right? They didn't even show up then. So, I mean, this is how far away they felt. Now, let me tell you why this is such a big deal right here. See, if you're new to church or you're new to the whole, you know, trying to figure out God thing, or, you know, maybe you're just starting the new year off and you're like, I've never tried, you know, spirituality. And so I thought I'd do something different. And so, you know, you're just like, okay, or maybe you're restarting. Maybe you once had a faith and you haven't for a while. And you're like, okay, I want to try to reengage. All right. Or maybe your parents got divorced and when you were younger and the church didn't know what to do with that. And so they kind of ostracized you. And so like, you just quit going. And so you're back trying to, whatever the reason. All right. So this next thing is for you, all right? And here's what I want us to understand. Jesus was so extraordinarily comfortable with people that were not like him. Right? And apparently, if you read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, these four books that talk about Jesus, the events of Jesus' life, apparently people who were nothing like Jesus were extraordinarily comfortable with him. I mean, have you ever met somebody that just made you like feel comfortable? Like everything about them like put you at ease? I mean, it's like they weren't so good looking or they didn't have such strong leadership skills that it intimidated you, but you're like, man, every time I'm with them, man, I just feel comfortable. I mean, this is how it was with Jesus. Now remember, this is like God in a bod right here, right? It's like Jesus in the flesh. All right, so this is like God and all of his character in human flesh hanging out with people that are nothing like him, and yet he's extraordinarily comfortable. And they're extraordinarily comfortable with him. So here's why this is so important. See, if you're not a religious person, all right, if you're not really into church thing, or you've been anti-Christian your whole life, and you're just trying to figure this church thing out, whatever the reason, if you come into this setting with us, and you feel anything but love and acceptance from us, let me just tell you, that's our fault. That's not Jesus' fault, all right? Because Jesus, everybody around him felt extraordinarily accepted. I mean, that's our outage, all right, as human beings, all right? Everybody liked him. Take a look at the Gospels, or just read. This is why if we could erase everything we know and we could just begin to read about Jesus' life, we'd begin to see people followed him everywhere, people that were nothing like him. They couldn't get enough of him. And so Jesus would like you. I think that's kind of the point. So the religious people now, they're shadowing Jesus, and they're not in on this whole thing. They can't figure this out. And so when they see this, here's what happens next. It says, when the Pharisees saw this, they asked the disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? Kind of like, we're confused. We don't get this. We're God followers. You're a God follower. We're law keepers. You're a law keeper. We worship God. You worship God. We don't get it. Why do you invite us? Why do you hang with us? Why is he hanging with people not like him? We just don't get this. And this is where the story gets a little weird, but really cool as well. I love this part of the story. All right, so picture Jesus. He's hanging out at a table probably just like this, a bar table in Matthew's basement. All right, they're hanging out together. They're at Matthew's house. And remember, the religious leaders aren't inside. They're outside. All right, because why would Matthew invite religious people? They're going to judge him into his house, right? So they're hanging out outside. And Jesus hears all this commotion going on. He hears the comments. What's he doing in there? Why is he hanging out with those people in there? And here's what it says next. On hearing this, Jesus said, and I think he said this out loud, by the way. On hearing this, Jesus said, it's not the healthy who need a doctor. Now imagine if you're Matthew, sitting right here next to Jesus, all right? It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. Now, this was before sick was cool, like sick, you know? This was like, Matthew, picture Matthew. Matthew's going, no, Jesus, wait a sec, what are you saying? You're here eating my food, drinking my wine. We're hanging out here, and yet you're saying those out there don't need you, but those of us in here need you? Jesus, you calling me sick? Now, I'm not exactly sure how that conversation went down right there, all right? It doesn't give us a lot more detail. But think about this for a moment. I mean, and this is for all of us here. I have a feeling he looked at Matthew and he's like, Matthew, come on. You're a tax collector. Of course you're sick. And all his friends are like, yeah, we're tax collectors. We love it. I mean, you know, and as we think, if we put ourselves in this story right here, I mean, and this might be offensive to some of us, but come on. If we're really honest, I mean, you know you're sick, right? I mean, you know that there's something wrong with you. I mean, I know there's something wrong with me. I mean, I've got all kinds of outages in my life. You know, listen, you're not even consistent with the rules you make up yourself. Like dads, you have conversations with your sons about certain things, and you don't even keep the rule you ask your son to keep, right? Or with your daughters, you ask your daughters to do certain things, and you don't even keep those rules. Like, if you lead people in your office, you have certain expectations for your employees, and you're not even consistent on those. I mean, if we're honest, we break our own rules, right? So, I mean, if there is a God, and if that God is a just, good God, I mean, let's be honest, we've all done some things that have missed the mark, which is simply what it means to be a sinner. And we've done some things to screw other people over. We've done some things that have created brokenness. We've done some things that have jeopardized maybe your marriage or jeopardized your integrity. And if Jesus is the standard, I mean, if he wants us to live like he lives, man, we all have fallen short. And you don't need me as a pastor like to tell that to you, right? You're like, we know that. So here's the thing. See, Jesus was so winsome. He was so appealing. He was so comfortable in his own skin. He could just say out loud with the sinners and tax collectors right there, hey, tell them I'm with the sick people. The healthy people don't need me. I'm with the sick. And he's like, high five, Matthew. And Matthew's like, I don't know, I'm a little offended by that, but okay, yeah, high five. I am sick. I mean, Jesus just had a way with this, right? See, only men and women and students and married people and single people who can look in the mirror and honestly be like, you know what, man, I'm missing something. I'm a little sick at times. These are the prime candidates to be a follower. See, we go down to verse 13, and Jesus kind of summarizes. He says, for I have not come to call the righteous, but the sinners. In other words, he says, I'm not content just hanging out with people who believe all the right things. I'm not content just hanging with people who behave in all the right ways. And here's why. Let me just talk to the Christians in the room for a moment. Those of us who would say, hey, I am a follower of Jesus. I'm trying my best to be in relationship with him. And if you're not, if that's not you, I mean, if you're not there yet, you can check out for a moment. You can even laugh at us if you want as I talk about how hypocritical we are. Because we are, we're hypocritical. I mean, you might be seeing somebody here today and you're like, man, I see them in the office and they're not nearly as good there as they look here. And so, you know, we tend to have outages in our life. But here's why this is so important. I mean, dare we as a church become so focused and content to just behave the right ways and believe the right things and stop right there? I mean, Jesus even said, he said, hey, I'm not really into all that. See, if we do, we actually miss out on being in the very place that Jesus inhabits because he says, hey, I'm here for those that understand, man, there's something wrong. Like, they're kind of sick. They need some help. I mean, I don't want to pastor a church that way. I don't even want my family attending a church that is just all about believing the right way and behaving the right way. See, we're here. We're here. We've been called to be here to help people find their way back to God. That's why we're here. And Jesus is like, I don't care what you believe. I don't care how you behave or how consistent or inconsistent you are. He's like, I just take a baby step and follow me. That's the invitation. Which is so fascinating because, you know, the religious leaders, you know, their formula was this. They said, hey, if you change, go change first, and then you can come be a part of us. You can join us. But Jesus, like, flipped that upside down. He said, no. Join me. Just follow me. And guess what? You're going to start changing. And don't, I'm going to warn you. Don't be surprised if, you know, a little bit of time down the road, you look in the mirror and you're like, oh my gosh, I don't even recognize that person right there. Because when you begin to follow, you begin to change. So that's what we're going to be going after over these next few weeks. What does it look like for us? Just ask the question, am I following? Now, three quick things as we wrap up about what it means to follow, because I just want to be super clear. All right, so number one, being a sinner does not disqualify you from following. It's a prerequisite. All right, you have to be a sinner. If you can't admit you're a sinner, then I guess that's the only thing that disqualifies you. I mean, think about it. Every single person Jesus ever invited, guess what? Sinner. Sinner. I mean, they had all kinds of sin in their life. The only people who didn't follow Jesus were those who thought they were good enough already, who thought they were perfect. This is why Matthew is such a great example of this. See, Matthew hasn't prayed anything. He hasn't confessed anything. He hasn't, you know, agreed to anything. He hasn't committed anything. Jesus says, hey, Matthew, just come on, just follow me. Just be a part of my circle. In fact, this is really our only next step I want to encourage you on today. I mean, would, as you start 2019, would you be willing to just say, regardless of where you are in your spiritual journey, you know, to regardless of your behavior last night or last week or, you know, over Christmas break or whatever, would you just be willing to say, okay, I'm going to take a baby step and agree to just follow as we start 2019? And just to be clear on this, there's no sin, there's no habit, there's no addiction that puts you outside of the invitation. All right, so being a sinner does not disqualify you. It actually qualifies you. It's a prerequisite. Number two, being an unbeliever doesn't disqualify you. You might be saying, well, Kurt, I don't believe any of this stuff. I don't really believe Jesus is who he said he is. Okay. How many of the disciples do you think believed in Jesus? None. None of them. In fact, there's a moment, if you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, there's a moment, you know, I don't know, a year and a half, 2 years in, where it says Jesus performed a miracle, he did something, and all of a sudden it says, and they believed. And you're like, oh my gosh, what have they been doing for the last 2 years? I don't know. They've been not believing is what they've been doing, right? Because it says in that moment they believed. It took them that long. In fact, there's a famous follower of Jesus, one of his inner circle, that actually got a nickname based on his unbelief. You know who he is? It's a doubting Thomas. Doubting Thomas. Thomas, he didn't believe. And you thought Doubting Thomas was just like a folklore, didn't you? He's actually in the Bible. It's actually one of Jesus' inner 12. All right, see, Thomas, even after Jesus died and resurrected, came back to life, and Jesus is meeting with his 12, or with his 11 at that point, you know, Thomas is like, I don't know. Could have just been a big trick that he played. And Jesus, guess, it's so cool. Jesus looks at him, and you know what he doesn't say? He doesn't say, well, Thomas, I gave you 3 shots, man. You're out. He didn't say that at all. He's like, hey, I'm here to help you in your belief. I didn't care how much you don't believe or how little faith you have. He's like, I just want to invite you into the circle, to be in the room. Third invitation is the invitation to follow is purely an invitation to relationship. Right? And this is huge, 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 huge. Right? This is not an invitation to the Ten Commandments. It's not an invitation to obedience. And here's why this is so important. Think about it this way. If you married someone, right, and that person obeyed all the marriage rules, right, and you, yourself, obeyed all the marriage rules, that would not assure you of a great marriage. Right? It really wouldn't. I mean, I've met people who are so legalistic and about following all the rules, and their marriage sucks. I think all of us, we would opt, if we're going to be in that kind of relationship, to be with someone who might break the rules every now and then, all right, but there's an actual relationship there. They actually you know, really love being together because the rules don't make the relationship. In fact, the reason I do my best to keep the marriage rules, we don't really have marriage rules, but I mean things that I know will protect my relationship with Julie. I don't wake up every day and go, oh, Julie, here's the 10 marriage rules I'm going to keep today to honor you, just so you know. Here's what I'm going to be following the book on these. We don't even have those, right? But see, here's the thing. When you start loving someone, you start doing things different. And not because you know, Jesus says, do this and do that, and as long as I do it, then my life changes. No, because you know how it goes. You begin to have one of these right here. You begin to have a relationship. And when you have a relationship and you actually love someone, you begin to bend your life toward that person. In fact, Paul even talked about this. He gives us this great little picture in a very little, you know, airplayed verse. I mean, this verse is rarely mentioned. Romans 2, it says, God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance. You're like, man, I thought it was the fear of God, of hell. I thought it was, man, I don't want to go to hell, so that's why I would want to repent and experience forgiveness. No, I mean, that's a way. That's a way that it can be done. It's not the way Jesus talked about it. Paul says, no, it's his kindness. It's his kindness. You know what you have to experience God's kindness? You have to have a relationship. You have to be in the vicinity. All right, you have to take a baby step and say, okay, I'm willing to follow and be in the room. You're like, well, I don't want to commit too much. I don't want it to cost me too much. Paul's like, no. It's God's kindness that's intended to lead you to repentance. You know what repentance is? Repentance means change. Not the fear of hell. We all know that doesn't work. It's God's kindness when demonstrated, especially through Christ, actually leads us to come around and begin to want to be in that kind of relationship. This is why this place right here is so cool. I mean, you know, these are all over the community churches. I mean, just men, women, people gathering together. I mean, it's really cool when students come together and men and women come together. And, you know, some of us have been walking with Jesus for a long time and others of us just started. And some have been walking for a short time. And some of us have a big faith and some a little faith. And some of us, our faith has been destroyed and we're trying to rebuild it. But see, everybody to the best of their ability is moving in the same direction, trying to get better at just following. That's all we're doing. And if you find yourself in a group of people like that, that's why getting out of rows and into circles is so important. I mean, if you're in a group with men or women or couples or, you know, you're in a divorce care group because you've been through divorce and you just want to get with other people who are kind of heading in the same direction or starting point because you're new to faith or whatever it is. You know, CSM has small groups at our Crosspoint Student Ministries, or if you're a student on campus and you've got a small group in your dorm of people just trying to become better followers, I tell you what, there's something extraordinary that happens in those circles. And so as we kick this series off, the question question I want us to all kind of dig on, the one I hope we talk about this week with our friends, our family, is this question, am I following? Am I following? Not what do I know, not how many times did I pray or how consistent am I going to be over the next 6 weeks, but am I actively engaged in seeking to say, okay, I'm going to follow Jesus. I don't know exactly what that entails, but I'm going to follow. We're going to break that out over the next 4 weeks. But see, this is an invitation into relationship, and that's why for some of us, the relationship with Jesus begins with the relationship with us. It begins with just being here in the room. That's why another one of our next steps is just, you know, I'll return next weekend. You know, not because it's a do or don't, and if you do, you're good, and if you don't come back, you're bad, and Jesus is going to be mad. It has nothing to do with that. It's just that if you want to continue to be in the vicinity, you got to be connected. And so maybe that starts for you on weekends here at Crosspoint, whether it's next Thursday or Sunday. So maybe that's one of your next steps. And maybe that's the start of something new as we head into 2019 and just dig into this question. What does it look like for me to just follow wherever I am? So I want us to stand. I'm going to pray for you and pray for us. And we're going to sing one more song. And then we're going to get off into this year. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the opportunity to gather in this room. And man, it's just good to be back and start a new year. And Father, I just pray that we would get a glimpse of how easy and simple this invitation is that you give to us to just follow. And Father, I know for many of us, we have a lot of ideas and perceptions about what that means. And I just pray, God, you'd help us to sift and sort through the ones that aren't helpful and just help us to really begin to see that you just constantly gave that invitation. Hey, just follow me. Just become a part of my circle. Just engage and trust that something's going to happen as a result of that. And Jesus, I know for me personally, I just know that sometimes I don't always understand it, but I do know that when I follow you, I become better at life, and my life actually becomes so much better because you just have a way of doing that for us. And so I pray you'd communicate with us today, God. I pray that you would help us to know what to do with what we've heard today as we start this new year. I pray these things according to you, Jesus, your character and your name. Amen. Amen. All right, we ready for 2019? Anybody ready? All right, here we go. So we're going to be asking the question, am I following, all right? Am I following? And we're going to begin a climb towards something new this year. All right, do this with me. Put your hands together, all right? You may not know the song. You may not know the lyrics. Let's sing this together.